Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be with you today right here on WMAF. We're glad to be with you also if you're listening to this broadcast. As it was downloaded from our website, we ask you to join with us around the Word of God today as we get ready to study a great subject. Every subject to me is great in the Word of God because it is indeed the Word of God. And it has power to change not only your destiny, but to change you right here, right now, in this place and space and time. It can change us from the inside out. You know, the Bible talked about the Word of God's power to bring change in our life. And it said, if any of this seed of the Word of God falls on a good ground heart, Jesus taught it, the seed of the Word will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and even 100-fold. Praise God. So we have great potential for mighty changes to occur when we have an encounter with the Word of the living God. There's life in this seed, praise God, and that life can be in you today if that seed is received in a willing, faithful heart. God can do mighty things. What we can't do, what we can never accomplish, He can accomplish within us and through us today. So if you're not a Christian, please stay tuned today. Praise God. God doesn't expect us to change ourselves. He just expects us to change our mind about the road that we are traveling. And repent simply means, in the military sense, to do an about face. It's 180-degree turn to head in the other direction. Praise God. And I'm telling you, when we do that, we give God permission to come within us and to work a mighty work within. Praise God. Well, I'm excited, as you can see, about our broadcast today. In just a few moments, we're going to be talking about water baptism and what it truly represents to get a handle on this proclamation and celebration of our new identity and our new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you would like to come to our website, want to give it to you once again, type in THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God, right here in Tampa, Florida, where I'm in my 40th year as senior pastor here. So there's over 1,300 sermons on that website that span those 40 years. There are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus on there, and there are Bible helps, inspirational music. There are no strings attached. You couldn't buy anything off of our website if you just won that big lotto. Somebody in Zephyr Hills, I think, won the Powerball and the 560 million dollars, some atrocious number, and hadn't stepped up to claim it. Well, if you were that person today, you couldn't buy anything from our website because there's absolutely nothing for sale there. God has blessed us with people who have a heart to give and to share the gospel with all who will hear it. And we just want you to know that we have no ulterior motive today except to share the good news of Jesus with all who will listen. So if you're not a Christian today, please be our very, very special guest as we gather around the Word of God. And if you want to come to our website, type in THCOG. That's all you have to do, and Google it. Use that big search engine, and it will take you to the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. Well, I told you I was excited. I am. We're going to talk about a church ordinance that has a deeper meaning than most Christians realize. Even if you have been baptized in water after you came to Christ as your Savior, we want you to understand that from the day that you became a Christian, not the day that you were baptized in water, but the day you became a Christian, you became identified in three distinct areas with Jesus Christ: identified with His death, identified with his burial and identified with his resurrection. Praise the Lord. Amen. And because of that identification, you will never find the church, all of the believers collectively and corporately, you will never find the church separate from Christ, and you will never find Christ separated from his church. Praise the Lord. He meant it when he said, I will never, and he said it in the emphatic in the Greek, I will never, no, never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. So our text today is simply the command to go and baptize, teach all nations. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise God. So we're talking about water baptism and what it represents today. And primarily, we're talking about a change of identity. Our identity changed when we come to Christ as our Savior. When we believed on Jesus, we receive eternal life, and we are now identified with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I'm going to say it again, our identity as Christians has been changed. His death to sin became our death to sin. His burial became our burial. His resurrection, our resurrection. So we therefore have a brand new identity. The scripture is very, very clear that if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. So I want to make this statement based on that great fact and truth. No one can truly walk in the newness of life unless they understand and appropriate our new identity in Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to this very clearly from Romans 6, verse 4 and 12. While you're turning, getting ready to read this verse, if you're listening today and you're saying in your heart, or you have said in your heart in the past what many people say, I can't live for God. I can't break this habit. I really may not even have the desire to break this habit. It has such a hold on me. It's so satisfying to me in the sense of some kind of gratification I get from this sin. And if I have to give up that sin, then I'm not ready to do that. Friend, that would be changing yourself before coming to Jesus. God does not expect that from you or ask that of you. He asks you to come just like the great hymn says of the faith, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. God will make the changes. When you change your mind and you say, you know, I'm living in sin, but I don't want to continue down this road. I know that it leads to destruction. I know that it's putting my family, my job, my reputation in jeopardy, my relationship with my children in jeopardy. I know my body is being decimated by this. I want to be free, but there's another side of me that wants to hang on to this that gratifies me in the immediate sense. Oh, friend of mine, come to God. You know, so come to Christ. When you come to Jesus, the moment you do, something occurs within, something powerful and something wonderful. Praise God. Amen. I want to read about this in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 through 12. Listen to it carefully. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Does that mean you're sinlessly perfect? No. It means sin does not have dominion. And because sin doesn't have dominion, Satan has lost his control and influence. Praise God. You're not a child of the devil anymore. You are a child of the Most High God. You're not the slave of the enemy, Satan. You're the servant of Jesus Christ. It's the same word for slave, but it is a slave out of love and devotion, not being driven by desires that lead us to sin that destroys. Amen. Verse 7 says, "For he that is dead, identified with Christ's death, is freed from sin." Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, ye also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That gives you something you don't have now, and that is a sense of control. You can control those desires. You can control those temptations. You are in control, and God is giving you the power and the grace to overcome. Listen to verse 12. Let not, that means you have something to say about this, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Praise God. Don't let sin have the upper hand. Praise the Lord. Stand in your new identification in Jesus Christ. See yourself as God sees you. The person that Satan mastered, that sin reigned in, is dead and buried. And the new resurrected person has come forth. A new creature set free to serve God and to overcome the enemy. And we must see ourselves as this conquering one. In fact, the Scripture says of you and I, after we come to Christ, that we are not just barely getting by, always losing these battles with our flesh, but it said we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah, because of Him that loved us. Praise the Lord. This new conquering one is dead to sin, but alive to God. The very power of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead now works in you and works in me. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 25. I want to stop before we read that. Someone has said in their heart, "I can't live a Christian life, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to be one of those people who go to church on Sunday and just serve the devil the rest of the time. I'd rather be honest with God, honest with people about me. I'm not going to play the game." I think it's time everyone that's playing that game stop playing that game. There is victory in Jesus, and you can have victory in Jesus, because he that comes to Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit does a work within, and he changes our nature, and then He begins to empower us to walk in the newness of that new nature. It's called spiritual regeneration in the Scriptures. It is a miracle. If there's a miracle in the Bible, the new birth has to be at the top of the list of miracles. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every born-again believer, born from above, praise God, is a miracle, a walking miracle. And we give testimony that God, when He's invited into our heart, when we repent of our sins, I've said it before, you can't change yourself by yourself, but you can change your mind and put faith in Jesus and let God change you. Praise the Lord. Someone said you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. That's an old adage. I want to tell you something. God can do anything thing. There is nothing impossible with God. What you can't change in yourself, God can change in you. Not only can He deliver you from the habits and the sins that hold you back, He can give you a new nature, a new desire. Hallelujah. I remember when I came to Jesus, what I desired changes. New values came into view. Everything changed. We used to sing that great song, "I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Old things have passed away. All things are new today. I'm in a new world since the Lord changed me." You see, John's Gospel, chapter 1, says it very clearly. As many as received Him, Jesus Christ, just like you are, right where you are, if you change your mind about the road that you're on and where it's going to take you and receive Christ as your Savior this very day, this is what's going to happen. You don't have to change yourself. You don't have to make those adjustments in your heart. Just change your mind about serving Satan, and decide you want to serve God with the rest of your life. Change your mind about the road you're on and where it's going to take you, and get ready to change lanes. Praise God, and get off of that road. Listen carefully. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. You receive Jesus, and God begins to do the work. Actually, the Scripture goes on to say in another portion of the New Testament, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And Paul, knowing that, he stated that it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. You know, there are people listening to this broadcast will say, "Pastor, I can't live the Christian life, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite." Hey, I can't live it either. I can't live it either, but I am serving God, and I love serving God. I battle battles like anyone else with my flesh. That old nature rises up from time to time, but I count myself, it's a mathematical term, I count myself to be dead to sin, but alive to God. I'm not Satan's slave. Sin doesn't reign in my body. It doesn't mean I can't give place to the enemy. It doesn't mean I can't give in. It means I don't have to. Praise God. Amen. And if I have a stumbling somewhere along the way, yeah, the Christian victory is not never falling down. It's always getting up. And the Bible said if we have no sin, if anyone is uninformed enough and inexperienced enough in the Christian faith to make that kind of statement. 1 John says, if any man say, "I have no sin," he lies and does not the truth. But if we, as Christians, confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin. He's faithful because He loved us and sent His Son to die for us. He's justified as a holy God who cannot look over sin. He's just to forgive our sin because our sins were punished in Christ. And when we confess them and ask for forgiveness, God takes our sin and casts it away from Him as far as the east is from the west, according to the Word of God. We are no longer identified with that sin. Praise God. Amen. But we are always identified with His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Every conquering Christian is dead to sin but alive unto God. If you decide to come to Christ today, something's going to occur within you. Amen. God comes in. Jesus comes in. The Holy Spirit, amen, comes in. Not the baptism of the Holy Spirit spoken of in the book of Acts, but the coming of the Holy Spirit to regenerate and change us from the inside. Praise God. Amen. Let's read about this in Ephesians 1, 17 through 25. This is a prayer of Paul for the church. The very power of Him that raised up Jesus goes to work in us. And it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is his prayer, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Praise God. Amen. This is incredible. Paul is saying, I want everyone who believes on Jesus to know, from this generation and every successive generation, I want every Christian to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Praise God. Amen. Friend of mine, if you receive Christ as your Savior today, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to go to work and begin a work and continue a work within your heart and within your life. I said it before, I say it again. No one can just up and live the Christian life. That's why Paul said, it's not me that's doing this. It's the power and presence of Christ within me. It's the Holy Spirit moving and working within me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paul said, I want you to know something about that great power. Praise God. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It's so good. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Paul is saying what goes to work in you is nothing less than the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God. Amen. Friend of mine, you can't change yourself, but don't you ever be guilty of thinking or saying that God can't change you. And all he needs from you is you and me to repent of our sin and receive Christ as our Savior. That allows him. We have given him the permission that he needs to not only forgive our sin, but deliver us from the shackles, deliver us from Satan's dominion, deliver us from that drives us into these behaviors that put in jeopardy everything that is so vitally important to our life and our relationship to God and to others. Today there's victory for you. It doesn't matter how deep into sin you might be, how strong the chains that hold you. Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath life. Praise God. And he said, if you continue in my word, see, you've got to know what is yours before you can appropriate faith in it, before you can allow it to work within you. If you continue in my word, John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 30 and 31, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. This is not just intellectually, but you will know it experientially. You will find out that what God has promised, what he has purposed, he has the power to accomplish in us and through us and in our behalf. Praise God. If anyone continue in my word, he will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. We become renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen. That we might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, that we might walk it out, live it out, exemplify it, praise God, because the change has come within. And when we realize that we're identified with Christ, we count ourselves to be dead. And it's symbolized in a simple act, an ordinance of the church to be baptized in water. I'm dead and buried with Christ. I'm identified with His death, but I'm also identified with His resurrection. I am raised up by the same power that raised Jesus, the same God that raised Christ from the dead, has now spiritually raised me up. Praise God. Regenerated me, as the Scripture says, that I might walk in the newness of life. Praise the Lord. What a difference it makes when we receive Jesus as our Lord and our personal Savior. In order to appreciate and appropriate this new life, we need to understand where we were and where God can and will bring us to. Walking in the newness of life means living and behaving radically different from the old life. It means living a dynamic, power-filled life. Life marked by unshakable peace, unquenchable joy, and undisputed victory. It means living large spiritually, living a life of meaning and worth, a life filled with hope and anticipation. Praise God. But it all begins the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. Nah, friend, I agree with you. You can't change yourself. I can't change myself. The question is put to man in the Old Testament, can a leopard change her spots? No, that's who that leopard is. It's in its DNA. It's in its genes. Sin is in our DNA. Amen. We inherited sin from the original sin of Adam, and we all inherited that fallen nature. But when Jesus came, He didn't just come to forgive our sins. God didn't just sweep them under the carpet and look the other way. He came to forgive us and to set us free from Satan's dominion, to come out of his prison house. Oh, God doesn't want to just forgive your sin and leave you a slave to it. He wants to open the prison house and set the captive free. That's what Jesus said He was anointed to do. So it goes beyond just forgiveness and leaving us as slaves to the enemy. He comes to bring us out. Hallelujah. To mark us as His children by delivering us from the dominion of Satan and the devil. There's victory for you today. No matter how deep and how strong the chains and the bars of your prison house may be of habit or desires that are inappropriate, I'm telling you, there is a victory for you because God loves you. In spite of your circumstance, in spite of your sin, God loves you today. And He called you through the gospel of Christ by the Holy Spirit. He called you to come, to come, to come to Him. That's why the great hymn resonates today. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Today, friend, you can come to Christ. Today, you can be set free, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come with my habits, I come with my hang-ups, I come with my sins, I come with desires that I really want to continue in, but I know where they're going to lead me, and I don't want to want them anymore. I want You. I want life eternal. I want the security and safety of being Your child. I want the consolation and comfort of knowing that if I draw my last breath, I will see You greet me with a smile of acceptance and love. Not as my judge, but as my Savior, my Sovereign, my King. Oh, today, receive Jesus. Change your mind so that He can change your life. Today, if you're a Christian and you're still struggling with some of these very things, you haven't come into that fullness of new life that baptism represents, this spiritual walk, is available to you. Come to Jesus today. Rejoice in Him. Ask Him to help you, and He will do the work. Well, we love you. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.